Well, as you've probably heard, early this morning, police evicted Occupy Wall Street protesters from New York's Zuccotti Park. Here in Boston, city officials say they have no plans to push demonstrators out of Dewey Square. And this afternoon, Harvard University custodial workers plan to rally near the Occupy encampment just outside the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston to, quote, make sure Harvard does the right thing for all workers, according to SEIU union president Rocio Sanez.
Sanez might be surprised to know that his position is supported by none other than the dean of the Harvard Business School.
The real goal of business leaders is to first create value for society. I think that somewhere along the way, we had lost sight of that in maxims like maximize shareholder wealth. If we forget that the real purpose of a business enterprise and the reason for its existence or the license that it has comes from society, I think we end up in a very narrow definition of what businesses need to do.
Nitin Norio was a professor of leadership and entrepreneurial studies at Harvard. He became dean of the business school just last year. Had his appointment come before the banking crisis, many might have regarded him as a strange choice because Norio is widely known as a soft-spoken but frank critic of the way business is done and taught.
Managers have lost legitimacy in the face of a widespread institutional breakdown of trust and self-policing, he wrote in an influential 2008 paper. Now, Noria's taken that criticism and turned it into a major overhaul of the MBA curriculum at Harvard, that seedbed of future CEOs, bankers, and secretaries of the Treasury. The single most important thing Harvard can teach them, Nitin Norio says, is moral humility.
In his office yesterday, Norio talked about ethics and business education. He was born in India, as we mentioned. Meghna started her conversation talking about his father, who led one of India's most successful engineering conglomerates.
I remember as a young kid, probably 12 or 13 years old, traveling with my father to parts of India where they were opening new plants, places where there was nothing. You had to go there in roads that had been constructed by the company to get to the place where the factory was going to be built. And then having the opportunity to go back to some of these places a decade later and seeing the extraordinary transformation that business could enable in these small towns.
Describe what the transformation looked like to you when you went back.
So where there was no factory, there was a township. There were multiple factories. There had been suppliers that had come in. There were schools. There were hospitals. People met me who had come from adjoining villages to work at the factory, who had been able to send their children to school, who had been able to prosper in life. So I saw firsthand the extraordinary power of business to transform society, to create prosperity for many. So I think very early on, it shaped in me this belief that business had the possibility of being a very productive and powerful force in the world.
You know, I'm speaking with you today not just because of your already well-established career in management and leadership studies in particular, but obviously because you are the new dean of Harvard Business School and you've made some significant changes to the curriculum and really sort of the ethos of what a management education should be. And I want to talk about that in just a moment. But first, just I'd like to take a step back and just ask you, I mean, in 2008, you co-authored what turned out to be a very influential paper in the Harvard Business Review that was quite critical of management education. So what is wrong with management education today?
So the argument that we were trying to make in this article that I wrote called It's Time to Think of Management as a Profession is actually to remind us that when business schools were first created, the purpose of business schools in 1908, when Harvard Business School was created, the first graduate school in business, was to create a class of business professionals who had an identity of thinking of themselves very much like doctors and lawyers did, as people who would master a body of knowledge that could be usefully applied, but would do so with a recognition that business enterprises were vital instruments in society. That the reason why they had to bring this knowledge to bear was to do it with judgment and a sense of care and a sense of concern for the welfare of society, because business organizations were becoming too vital to societal interests. That's why business schools were created. And I just felt that business education had lost this original animating purpose, and that it was time to remind us that much like doctors have a Hippocratic Oath and lawyers care to take the bar and think about their education as animating them towards creating justice in society, that business leaders also had a responsibility of thinking that their first goal was to create prosperity for society. And if they created value for society, then they could keep value for themselves. But that relationship had to be remembered, that the real goal of business leaders is to first create value for society.
This term value, you've actually expanded it back to its original definition, which was value for society. But over time, it feels like when people have been discussing value, the definition had been further and further narrowed over time to, you know, shareholder value. So in the minds of many business leaders, they, you know, in years past would argue that they had been creating value.
Yeah, you know, it's striking that the first dean of Harvard Business School, Edwin Gay, said that the purpose of Harvard Business School was to educate business leaders who would make a decent profit decently. So it is important for businesses to create profit, because unless businesses create profit, they over time end up unable to reproduce and sustain themselves. In the absence of creating shareholder values, you don't have sustainable enterprises. But if you narrow the focus only to that, and you don't create value for society, in the end, you don't end up creating institutions that create shareholder value either. Because society, we have to remember that businesses exist because we have a charter from society, right? If we forget that, if we forget that the real purpose of a business enterprise and the reason for its existence or the license that it has comes from society, I think we end up in a very narrow definition of what businesses need to do. And this is not something that is new. This has been at the heart of what business education was supposed to be from its very start. Mm. To me, the deeper question is, how can we create a conversation that allows business students to think harder about what responsibilities do they want to internalize? And how do they make the world realize that they're in it, not because they're just in it for themselves. Mm-hmm. They're in it because they deeply believe, as I did, seeing my father early on as a child, that business can have this extraordinary positive influence on the world, and that's what they're committed to do as business leaders. And by the way, if they create that value, they'll create some value for themselves as well, and that's okay.
Nadine Nouria, I'd love to talk with you a little bit about what you're doing here at Harvard, because you've said some very interesting things already in this conversation. One is that business schools should be a place where people really get a sense as to what the impact of the value that they can create. In previous interviews, you've also said that the most important thing that can be taught in a place like Harvard Business School is moral humility. Now, it seems to me that maybe some of the examples of what true, I put true in quotes, but what true value is in the past, you know, 10, 20 years, that people have seen with their own eyes are not the example that you saw traveling around India with your father, and that what people believe to be value in this day and age is, you know, the difference between their income before they start their MBA and their income after they graduate from a place like Harvard. So what is it that you want to do or are trying to do here regarding the curriculum that redefines their sense of value creation?
So one of the things that we're trying to do is that we're trying to introduce into the MBA curriculum this new strand that we hope will become a complement to the case method for which we are so well known. This new strand is called the field method. So for example, one of the things we're going to ask all 900 of our students to do this year is to work with a company in an emerging market to imagine a new product or service that company might introduce in that emerging market. But to give you an example, you know, one of the projects that our students are working on is how might one introduce flood insurance in Vietnam? Millions of farmers each year in that country suffer from flooding, and if their crops are destroyed, their livelihood ends. So if you could create a product of this kind, it could benefit enormous numbers of people and create precisely the kind of prosperity that I had talked about. So our hope is that in the time that people are at Harvard Business School, and we're going to have another one in which every one of our students has to create a micro business, mm-hmm. that we're giving them more tangible opportunities to do things where they begin to see how they have real opportunities to create value. And if they do that, I hope that they will also develop this deeper belief that in the end, if they create value for real customers, then they will in fact create value for their companies. And if they create value for their companies, I'm sure they'll do well as well.
How is it that a sense of greater education in business ethics is folded into this?
So, you know, we've always had in Harvard Business School, actually with the first school that introduced a required course called Leadership and Corporate Accountability. This was right after Enron. So we were the first school to introduce that. So I think we're doing a lot to help our students understand through that course and other cases that are sprinkled throughout our curriculum as to what their responsibilities are as business leaders. The real challenge that we now need to confront at Harvard Business School, and in my view across all of business education, is I don't think that we have failed in allowing our students to understand what their responsibilities are as business leaders. What we have to get better at is to make sure that they can live up to those responsibilities in practice.
Yeah, because a lot of people would say, that's great that you had the corporate accountability class after Enron, but
We've seen those problems again.
The subprime crisis still happened anyway. Yeah. The economy's in the tank.
And I think that that's... So what we have learned from these most recent failures in corporate governance and these most recent failures of even individual leadership is that the problem is not that people don't know what their responsibilities is. The problem is that they can be in positions under pressure, in position where there is an enormous amount of short-term gain to be had. They can sometimes stray from their own very moral compass. This is what I think of as moral humility, that most people think that they won't do wrong things because they know what the right thing to do is. And yet they find themselves in circumstances where they end up straying over the line. So understanding how we can allow people to stay true to their own moral compass, how they can avoid the pressures that they will inevitably experience in life, that's where I think we need to do both more research and need to figure out how to educate our students better to have a felt sense of how will these pressures arise that will cause me to lose my own moral compass. It's not like these are bad people. These are good people who end up sometimes doing things that even they would look back and say, why did I do that? And cultivating and enabling our students to develop this kind of moral humility, that's, I think, the new place where we need to do more research. We need to figure out what the right pedagogy is. Because otherwise, I think we'll constantly find ourselves educating our students more and more about telling them what their responsibilities are, but then not feeling confident that they'll always be able to live up to it.
Yeah. Dean Noria, I just have to note that we're having this conversation in the midst of an ongoing economic crisis. Yeah. I mean, its latest emotional surge is being shown in the form of the Occupy Wall Street movement, yeah, which is spread across the country. There's even Occupy Harvard Yard across the river from here and Harvard's main campus. That, along with just factual evidence now from, for example, the CBO that says, yes, income inequality in America is greater now than it's been in the past 80 years or since 1928. Now, you know, it's not necessarily Harvard Business School that's to blame for this big shift, but there is a sense out there that business leadership has failed, is a part of the reason why there's so much distress and unease in the country now. So I guess I wonder, first of all, what's your response to that? And do you think that there are, by just simply reminding students you need to be much more aware of your moral compass, that that can actually remedy the situation we find ourselves in?
The economic crisis in which we find ourselves and the Occupy movement, which we are now witnessing all over the world, reminds us that there's other things that we need to do too. So one of the things I'm very convinced that we have to think hard about is how will America remain a competitive economy in this new global century that we now find ourselves in? Because frankly, a lot of what's going on is people with a high school education or with a college education in America used to be able to get good middle-class jobs. There are hundreds of millions of people now with the high school education that are willing to provide the kinds of services and produce the kinds of goods and services that we could historically have produced in America in other places for much less. So thinking about the role of America and how America sustains its competitiveness in a new global economy, I think this is something that is a deep and important question that has to be part of the answer for how we get ourselves out of the current crisis in which we find ourselves.
And my last question, there are certainly going to be students who are here at Harvard Business School today who are absolutely going to be the next generation of powerful business leaders. And human nature being what it is, no matter how good one's education is, failures of a moral compass are going to happen. Looking at this current economic crisis, a lot of people feel that, for example, there have been no prosecutions of business leaders in the United States. My question is, A, should there have been? And B, if not, what is it as a society that we should do when our business leaders fail?
So I think we should be as troubled when our business leaders fail as we are troubled when any other leader to whom we entrust society's valuable resources fails. I do think that society worries that there are times when business is not as critical of its own failures as it needs to be. We have, in fact, at Harvard Business School, in response to that, become much more mindful about teaching cases of failure as much as we teach cases of success. Because we think that that's one way of reminding our students that if they act in ways that aren't their best selves, then they will be subject to criticism by future generations of business students. So I think studying failure and being able to name it and being willing to be critical about it is as important as celebrating success. But we have to do both, because I do think it's important to celebrate success as well, because you do want to inspire the next generation of people to enter a field and be the next Steve Jobs. Because imagine a world in which people decided that business was not a field in which you could do things that were honorable. We would lose a remarkable number of good people if that didn't happen as well.
Dean Nitin Noria, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Meghna. It was wonderful.
Nitin Noria is the dean of the Harvard Business School. Your comments are always welcome at radioboston.org.
Stay with us. Coming up after the break...
The end is nigh. I repeat, the end is nigh. Specifically, the end of my trilogy of complete world knowledge.
Author, humorist, and doomsayer John Hodgman.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.